Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Third-party energy suppliers. The idea was deregulate, create competition, drive the price down for consumers. In practice, advocates say some suppliers prey on low-income consumers and often charge a whole lot more. And legislators say bad behavior is tough to punish. So now State Attorney General Andrea Campbell and Boston Mayor Michelle Wu are calling to shut the competitive energy market down. With us now, Boston Globe reporter Sabrina Shankman, and joining us, Jennifer Bosco, senior attorney at the National Consumer Law Center, which is a Boston-based nonprofit. Sabrina's on the line. Hi there, Sabrina.
Hey there.
And Jennifer, great to have you here in studio, too.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sabrina, I'll start with you. You co-produced this story we did between The Globe and WBUR, and you worked on this with WBUR's Miriam Wasser, who's on maternity leave. And you pulled a lot of stories through records requests of people really paying a lot from these energy suppliers.
We sure did, yeah. It was such a pleasure to work with Miriam on this, who has just been on the trail of this story for a long time. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the state so that we could get a better understanding of what the experience is and what people are reporting. And we got hundreds of records from 2022 and 2023, complaints that people had filed with the State Department of Public Utilities, which oversees certain aspects of this market. And we heard and saw just wild stories. You know, I think our jaws just dropped farther and farther as we read of people really being exploited and having these situations that that no one would ever wish upon their friends or family, certainly.
Being exploited as in they think they've got one bill and then they get another bill? Tell me a little bit more.
So that's part of it, right? So there is definitely this theme that we saw where it was people who signed up under certain terms that they thought would save them money compared to what the utilities offered for the basic service rate. So they sign up under one on these terms for certain energy prices, and then 2-3 months down the line, a year down the line, suddenly their bills are doubling, tripling, quadrupling, and they're not sure why. So that's one thing. And that's certainly like well within the law of what these companies are allowed to do. We also saw other kinds of incidents, people where they would be shopping at a BJ's or a Walmart, and they would have a chat with someone who had set up a table outside the box store. And they would say, you know, hey, are you interested in saving some money on your electric bill? And who isn't, right? So they start a conversation, and then maybe they give a little bit of information about where they live. Maybe they even pull up their electric bill because they're asked so that the person can take a look and see what they're paying. But they never actually sign up for anything, or at least not that they're aware of. And then a couple months later, their bills are through the roof, and they go to investigate and they find out, oh, we've been signed up for something without ever knowingly taking the step to do so.
So Jennifer, Miriam Wasser from WBUR in some reporting last year talked to Noemi Rodriguez of East Boston about her experience with a third-party electricity provider.
Some folks came along offering a plan that was supposedly from the state. I thought this was going to benefit me. I was so ignorant.
This was not how this was supposed to go, right? The deregulation in the 1990s was supposed to create competition, affordability. Tell us.
That's right. That was sort of the argument for restructuring at the time. I think there were also advocates at the time who were concerned that these very things could happen. And I'll note that there's one state around that time, Oregon, that also sort of realized these things could happen. And so they only opened up their market for commercial customers and not for individual residential sales. So in Oregon, they don't have these problems. In Massachusetts and the other states that did adopt this kind of restructuring and have competitive sales, we've all seen very similar problems the same as described in the article.
Why does it matter? Why does it matter that a business customer wouldn't fall prey to the same problems, if that's an acceptable phrase to use, as an individual residential customer would, Jennifer?
I mean, we don't really hear complaints from businesses, and my organization is focused on individual consumers. But I think overall, you know, for a large business, they have you know, more equal bargaining power, more opportunity to learn about different offers and different prices. There aren't people knocking on the door of their company with a deceptive sales pitch to sign them up for something that is too good to be true.
We're speaking with Jennifer Bosco of the National Consumer Law Center and reporter Sabrina Shankman of the Boston Globe about problems with and now moves to curb, regulate, or shut down third-party energy suppliers. Sabrina, I'm going to give you a little more sound, that Miriam Wasser of WBUR gathered in some reporting on this last year. This is with Reverend Mariama White Hammond, who is currently Boston's Chief of Environment, Energy, and Open Space, about what she heard from people who tried alternative providers.
The biggest thing that makes me frustrated about the competitive electric suppliers is that traditionally, they have gone after the people who can least afford the predatory product that they're offering.
And that has also been a dimension of this, Sabrina, in your reporting, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Massachusetts Attorney General's office has been tracking this for some time, and there's some really strong data that shows this. Between 2015 and 2021, they found that residents who had signed up for competitive electric supply plans paid more than $500 million more than if they had stayed on a plan buying electricity from their utility with a basic service rate. But within that, low-income residents were nearly twice as likely to be enrolled, and they consistently lost the most money.
So how does that happen, Jennifer Bosco? I mean, especially if we know it and if other states were able to avoid it.
How does it happen to an individual consumer?
Well, and how does it happen to be so skewed that low-income consumers are being particularly victimized when victimization is happening here?
I mean, it's something that, you know, we're seeing here, we're seeing in every other state too. I think that, you know, I've heard that maybe the marketing costs are a little bit less if you're in a concentrated area. And, you know, I think for low-income people, there are a lot of folks who struggle with energy affordability in Massachusetts and across the country. Like overall, over a third of families report some kind of energy insecurity, you know, facing disconnection, being late on bills, keeping the house at an unsafe temperature. And in Massachusetts, there are over, I think, as of last year, over 800,000 customers at one point in October who were behind on their energy bills. So a lot of people are struggling with energy affordability. And if someone comes along and promises you a product that's going to save you money, a lot of people are open to that, particularly the people who are struggling the most to try to save money and keep their lights on.
So what do you want to see happen, Jennifer?
I think, you know, we've looked at other states that have tried to make incremental changes, and I just haven't seen any of them that really work. They've made, you know, maybe some slight improvements that have helped a few consumers a little bit, but I think really I support the Attorney General and you know, the others who, the city of Boston, who are behind the effort to end residential sales of competitive supply in Massachusetts. I would still, you know, I think it's still fine to have the commercial industrial market. Municipal aggregation programs seem to be pretty effective, and consumers seem overall pretty happy with those. We haven't heard complaints about those. But the individual retail sales, the door-to-door sales, the slamming that you described where people are signed up involuntarily, there's been no good way to rein those in, unfortunately.
So I'm going to flag that municipal aggregation program phrase because we're going to come back to that. I'm going to come back to that with you, Jennifer Bosco. But now I'm going to turn back to Sabrina Shankman of the Boston Globe. Because Sabrina, so here's the two things right on the table now. One is shut it down. The other is regulate it differently. Let's start with the shut it down. Tell me more about moves happening on that front.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of momentum around that, right? Like as you mentioned, Andrea Campbell, the Attorney General, City of Boston, Governor Maura Healey, and most of the state Senate as well, supports an idea of banning, essentially phasing out the sales to residential consumers. They say we tried this for 25 years, and it didn't work. In their sense, in their framing of it, you know, some people sure have been able to save money, but that pales in comparison to those who have lost out. So there's a bill that would phase it out. It has all this support, but at the end of the day, it will have to be negotiated as part of a large climate bill that we're expecting later this year. So on the other side,
keep going.
Yeah. On the other side is a bill that is supported by a smaller number of House representatives. It is also supported by the competitive electric supply industry, who helped write the bill. The bill was put forward by Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy. And what that bill says is it acknowledges, you know, things are not how we want it to be. There are problems. The industry needs to be reformed. And it would put in certain requirements that would aim to protect low-income residents. And it would also provide some assurances, like a bond that would hopefully keep these companies, you know, make them more accountable and more likely to follow the rules.
So let's pick up, let's stay with that for just a second. First, you talked to Tacky Chan of Quincy, Sabrina. Part of what he has talked about is not enough oversight. Here he is.
The problem's always been that DPU don't do their job.
And that's the Department of Public Utilities. And WBUR's Miriam Wasser previously spoke with Frank Kaliva, who's the national spokesperson for the Retail Energy Supply Association. That's that competitive suppliers group that you talked about. And he argued for more regulation.
We think customers should have the ability to shop. We just think additional safeguards and additional oversight and additional education are vital for a properly functioning market.
So you've said both bills are there at the State House now, Sabrina Shankman. You know, are you seeing one versus the other sort of with favorable treating?
It's anybody's ballgame, right? I mean, at the end of the day, these climate packages, when they get negotiated, they have so many moving parts. And so what obviously, you know, happens in any negotiation is there's a bit of horse trading. So it's very hard to read see the future of what's going to happen here. But there is this very strong momentum around banning it. This would be a nation leading step. No other state has done this. No other state has implemented the market and then taken it away. But whether that actually happens, you know, I would be crazy to guess.
Yeah, no, nobody really looking for you to bet, I promise. So I do want to come back to Jennifer Bosco here, because here is this other piece. And Sabrina in her writing talks about this, and I want to pull it out. There is this other thing. You mentioned it, municipal aggregators, which seem to be working. And that's basically cities using their bargaining power to get an alternative that seems to stay affordable. Just tell us a bit more about that.
Sure. So, yeah, exactly as you said, it's where a city or town, you know, gets bids from different suppliers to be an aggregator for the entire town. And then the residents of the town can stick with that, or they can opt out and go back to basic utility service. But, you know, from the analyses we've seen both by the DPU and others, it really is pretty comparable in price. And there's a lot more transparency there. So if you want to find out, well, you know, what's this green product that my town is offering? And what does that really mean? Is this actually green energy? You can get that information from your town. There's not that kind of transparency when you're dealing one-on-one with a competitive supplier. And in fact, we've seen a lot of greenwashing, so-called, in the market for individual sales, because the green products often are very overpriced and don't really deliver on what they had promised.
And Sabrina Shankman, in a sentence, what's next for your reporting?
Next up, we are at the Globe getting ready for Sustainability Week, which is coming up the week of April 22nd. So there's all sorts of exciting events that we're prepping for. So I'll be interviewing the U.S. Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm. I'll be moderating a panel about the challenges around Massachusetts energy codes and building to net zero. All sorts of fun stuff coming up.
All right. Sabrina Shankman of the Boston Globe, Jennifer Bosco, Senior Attorney at the National Consumer Law Center. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.